Yeah. Summer blockbusters, man. Wrapping up the series today. This has been a fun series. And actually, Inception is the message I've actually been the most excited about to preach pretty much since we came up with the idea of the series. And then I actually saw the movie, and it was very good. So I've given you some bad reviews from time to time. Inception, A+. I was telling somebody today, though, it's not one, TJ and I talk all the time about the TV shows we watch. We have laptop shows or non-laptop shows. Like, is it a show that I watch with my laptop open doing other things? Or is it a show I need to close a laptop for? Inception is a close-your-laptop movie or TV show. It requires full attention. So make sure you do that if you see it. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil Inception today, which means we can't really talk a ton about the movie because there's a lot going on, a lot of secrets, and I don't want to ruin it for you. But as you can tell from the previews of the movie, they're talking about dreams, talking about mind stuff, talking about all that kind of stuff. And there are a couple of quotes from the movie that stuck out to me as I was watching it. And they're kind of the quotes that kind of spurred the whole thing. I want to read them to you. Leonardo DiCaprio's character, I mean, the previews tell you, he's a guy who's learned how to break into people's minds through dreams. Okay, I'm not ruining anything by telling you that, but that's all I'll tell you. But he has a couple of quotes that really stuck out to me. One is this. It says, "Once an idea has taken shape in the brain, it is almost impossible to get rid of." And this is in his world. Once an idea has taken shape in the brain, it is almost impossible to get rid of. Next statement. Yeah, this is not the Bible, by the way. Do not confuse that. "An idea is like a virus. It spreads and can define you." And then he also says, "What's the most resilient parasite alive?" An idea. And don't worry, we're not going to spend too much time on the inner workings of your brain. Because when I think about thinking, like, where does an idea come from? Where do my thoughts come? It makes my brain hurt. And so we're not going to dwell too much on that because it does make your brain hurt. But as I started thinking about those quotes, what occurred to me is they're right. Once an idea takes root in your head, dude, it is hard to get rid of. Some of you know this. There are some of you in the room who you have had an idea for a business you want to start. And you have had that idea for at least 10 years, maybe 20. And every time you think about it, you try to talk yourself, man, this won't work, I don't know. But it won't go away. No matter how hard you try, it just lives there. Some of you go to bed every night worried about what's going to happen at work tomorrow. Worried, completely unfounded. Now, if you messed up at work, you should be worried about the next day. But completely unfounded. What have I done? What if they get mad at me? What if my boss comes in tomorrow and he gets mad? And no matter how hard you try, you can't get rid of the thought. Or maybe you're single and you just met a guy and you know after 10 minutes that he's the one. And so at work or whatever you're doing, you're watching TV, your brain just floats away and thinks about him, and you tell yourself, focus, 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 I gotta get back to work. But your brain just keeps wandering back to his dreamy eyes. There's like a 90% shot. He's not the one, by the way. So, sorry. Sorry. But as I was thinking about those thoughts, something popped in my head, and I don't know how it got there, because again, it makes my brain hurt. But something popped in my head, and it's something Jesus said that I've always kind of found confusing. And if you've ever heard that he said it, you probably found it confusing. If you've never heard he said it, I'm going to tell you he said it, and then you're going to be confused. But this is what he said. He said a lot of intriguing stuff while he was here, but this one kind of gets it. This is in Matthew 5, 27, 28. Listen to what he says. He says, "You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery." Okay. We can all nod along with that. Sure, that makes sense. God believes in marriage. We shouldn't commit adultery. It's probably a bad idea. Okay. Sure. And if Jesus had stopped there, we could have gone on with life, but he doesn't. This is what he says in verse 28. Look at it. He says, "But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." What? What Jesus basically says is, yeah. The deed isn't the problem. If you even think about committing adultery, if you even think about that, you've done it. Same thing. Later on in the passage, he equates, get this, he equates hating someone, stay with me, hating someone with murder. Hating, murder, lust, adultery. And what he's basically saying to us is he's saying to me, to God, your thoughts are just as important as your actions. Look at this, Matthew 7, 20 to 23. Verse 20, he says, "It is what comes from inside that defiles you, makes you unholy, dirty, unclean, makes God not happy with you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come within. They are what defile you." And so, with our movie this week being Inception, and what you saw at the end there, the little tagline that pops up right as the preview's ending, it says this, it says, "Your mind is the scene of the crime." That's kind of the tagline of Inception. Your mind is the scene of the crime. And that's kind of what we're going to jump off of today. Because as I read those verses, that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, your mind, your thoughts, what you think about on a daily basis, that's where the problem starts. And thinking that you can think about it without acting on it, and that'll be okay, Jesus says, no. That's not okay. Because he says what comes out of your heart, what comes out of your mind, and just so you understand, the Bible uses those two interchangeably. It's going to say heart sometimes, it's going to say mind sometimes, but it means your inner, what you think about, what you feel. Those are what lead us astray. And I know that's hard to understand, it's hard to grasp, it's hard to believe, but I'm here to tell you today it's true. Our thoughts, our mind, really, they really are the scene of every crime of our life. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to dive into God's Word, and we're going to explore, we're going to figure out why God says that, why we should believe that, and how we should live differently because of that. So let's pray. God, I just ask you to be with us for these next few moments. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We open ourselves to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So the main point today, the thing I want you to get, the thing I want you to understand as you walk out is that your thoughts matter. What you think about matters. Okay? And number one, here's why it matters. It's because we're all selfish. I know I told you you'd probably get extra credit because you came today during the monsoon, but you're still selfish. All right? There's no need to hide it because we all are. It's not like there's a few of you in the room who's like, well, I'm not selfish. Yes, you are. And the fact that you thought, I'm not selfish, means you're selfish. All right? The fact that you wanted to single yourself out as the one person I'm not talking about means you're who I'm talking about. Me too. I'm not knocking me out. I mean, it all started when we were born. We are born selfish. We are born only wanting our own way. Okay? And we don't remember it because we were born that way. But if you have children or if you're around children now, you can look back and you can see. They are selfish. My 2-year-old has never consulted me or asked how I felt about him getting up at 2 a.m. He's never been like, you know what, this would probably, and I don't know why I'm saying me, my wife handles it. He's never consulted her. I'm too selfish to care. He's never consulted her about his dirty diaper. Mother, is it convenient for you right now for me to have a dirty diaper? He hasn't. Because kids are selfish. We have to teach them not to be. We have to teach them to share. Because it's not natural to share. And I'm going through this now with my kids. And I get frustrated when they don't share. But I don't know why. I don't know why any of us do. You didn't like to share. You still don't like to share. No one likes to share. Your kids don't like to share. Here's why they share. Because they know if they share, they don't get punished. Or what I figured out very early as a kid. If I do what they want me to do, I'm going to get more stuff. And if I do what they want me to do, I'm not going to get punished. So you know what? It is in my self-interest. It is the best for me to do what they want me to do because that way I get what I wanted. And we're all this way. Quit looking at me. Quit thinking, I gotta leave this place. This guy's insane. I'm going to say, we all are born this way. We all learn to act not that way. But our brains are wired from birth to be selfish. Our brains are wired from birth to want to put ourselves first, to care about what we want more than anybody else. That's how our brains are wired. And what happens is as we grow older, our parents teach us and society teaches us. And what we do is we modify our behavior so that we don't look selfish. We modify our behavior so that we don't act selfish. But in our brains, oh, we're still selfish. And if you don't believe me, think about the last time you went to the grocery store and you had the checkout lane standoff between you and, let's say, it's an elderly woman. And you both turn the aisle and you lock eyes. Oh, wah, wah, wah. And you decide, am I going to cut this old lady off or am I going to let her go first? And then you think, behavior modification. Society has told me to let her go first. So I will do it. And then I can brag about it to other people. And so you let her go first, but she doesn't go fast enough. And so already you're getting mad. I can't believe this lady. I can't believe she's taking so long. And look how many groceries she has. And then she gets out coupons. You're like, coupons? Oh, no. And then you get out your cell phone and already start planning, who can I call and tell this? Because what you're saying is you want to tell them a story, but what you really want to say is you want to tell them how awesome you are and how unselfish you are because you let the other person go in front of you. Because you're selfish. You are, I'm sorry, but you are. We all are. And what we've done for all of human history is we've kind of agreed. Here's the deal. We're all selfish. But rather than acknowledge that, we're all going to pretend like we're not so that we look cool. But then we'll get together in groups and talk about how unselfish we are and how awesome we are because we're so unselfish. Cool? And yeah, we said it was cool for, you know, humanity. We decided that was okay. And then about 2,000 years ago, this dude came, Jesus came along, bebopping around, and because he bebopped because he was Jesus. And Jesus comes along and he says, yeah, you know that way you are, that way that you've kind of decided as a culture to be of acting a certain way on the outside, but not really feeling that, yeah, that doesn't cut it. I don't want you to stop acting selfish. I want you to actually stop being selfish. Big difference. I don't want you to act that way. I want you to be that way. And we're all like, but time out. We live in society. We live with humanity. We've got this great gig going. We've got these things that we've all agreed to that we can don't have to change how we actually are. We just get to pretend to be another way. And then this other awesome word called manipulation. Some of us are really good at it. And so what we get to do is we get to act and pretend like we're not selfish. Everyone loves us. And we still get what we want. It's the best. And God says, no, you really have to stop being selfish. And here's why. Here's why. It's not just because you're selfish today. That's not really why thoughts matter. It's one of the reasons. It's kind of like the foundation. But next step, here's why selfishness matters in our brains. It's because selfishness in our brain, in our heart, will lead to other things. Always. Because our minds, our hearts, are incredibly dangerous. And that's not just me talking, that's the Bible talking. I want to show you what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 about us, about our heart, about our brain. Think about this the next time you say, just following my heart. Think about this. Look at what this says. The human heart, and this is the Bible talking, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Did you see that? The Bible just called you a jerk. And we see that verse. We kind of want to reel back. You kind of say, whoa now. Easy killer. But I'll just ask you to think about. Consider this. Every single atrocity ever carried out on humanity, every single one of them, conceived right here. Conceived right here in the human mind. Conceived, carried out. And here's the scary part, and here's why we're talking about this today. Here's where we're going. Most of the atrocities you think of, most of the injustices in your own life, most of the things that have been perpetrated against you and you feel completely wronged by it, the person that conceived it in their mind, they don't think what they did was wrong. They don't. Because not only are our minds selfish, but this verse teaches us as well that in addition to being selfish, they're also deceitful. They're the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked, which means it's great at taking our selfishness, our desire to make ourselves happy, and then twisting and creating false arguments and creating false logic and creating these ideas in our heads of, I know that we're not supposed to do that, but it's okay for me to do it. See, selfishness plus a deceitful heart, what it leads to is this word we all know. It's called rationalization. Rationalization. Let me define it for you. Rationalize is an attempt to explain or justify one's own behavior or attitude with logical, plausible reasons, even if these are not true or appropriate. That is the killer. Right there. Selfishness plus deceitfulness equals rationalization, which means our brains are capable of convincing us that anything is okay for us. Think about it. When you're on a diet, one cookie won't hurt. Yeah, but one leads to 12. In traffic, I know I'm speeding, and I know I just cut that person off, but I'm really late, and what I have to get to is very important, and so they should just get over it. I know, I'm supposed to pay the government this money, but I work really, really hard for it, and taxes are too high anyway, stinking Obama, so I'm not going to pay it. I really need to pass this test. It's important for, like, my long-term future, and so it's okay that I wrote the answers on my hand. Nobody's going to find out. I had a really good time at this party tonight. We had a great time. I'm not too drunk. I mean, 15. That's close enough, right? I can drive. At work. I work really, really hard. I work really hard. They're not going to miss that out of petty cash. Because I deserve it. I work really hard. Husbands. You know what? I know I shouldn't watch this movie tonight at midnight on Cinemax, but I really want to. And she was really mean to me today, and so I deserve it. Wives, you're not out of it either. That guy at work, man, he's so sweet. I know it's not a good idea to talk to him about my husband and talk about marital things, but he listens and he understands, and he's kind of cute, and I deserve it. You want me to keep going? If an accurate view of history and an accurate view of ourselves teaches us one thing, it's that we as humanity are ridiculously good at rationalization. Because we can talk ourselves into anything because we think we're different, we think we're unique, and we think we've earned it. You know, I know I'm up to my eyeballs in debt. I know I have kids that need to go to school. I know my husband just lost his job. But Pottery Barn is having a sale. And I need that new couch. We can put it on credit for 15 years. It's awesome. I need, I think, I deserve, I. See, the mind is the most deceitful thing. It's deceitful of all things because it convinces us. It convinces us, because it's selfish, that we're special. And we are special in God's eyes, but it convinces us that we're special. That we work harder than everyone else. That our circumstances are different than everyone else's. That our situation is different. That what we deserve is more than anybody else. And then what we decide is, you know what? If those other people just knew what I really did, if they were really in here and knew everything that had gone on, they'd agree with me. They'd understand. You know, I'm sorry I had the affair and all, but when you think about it, all I do for them, all I give them, how I'm perfect in every other way, you know what? Yeah, he should forgive that. He should forgive that one thing I did. Look at the balance of all I've done for him. He should forgive this one incident of cheating. How dare he? I mean, you think I'm joking, but I'm not. Because our mind, our heart, is the most deceitful of all things, and it is desperately wicked. So now we come back to the original question. How can he say, thinking about sleeping with a woman in his eyes is the same as sleeping with the woman? How can he say that? And it's because the movie quote is right. It's because an idea, it is the most resilient parasite. It's like a virus that spreads. Once it starts, man, it's hard to stop. Our minds are deceitful. They're desperately wicked. They're able to convince us of anything. They're capable of rationalizing anything. We could talk ourselves into anything. And what we don't realize is the more we allow our thoughts to think about those things, the more likely it is those thoughts are going to turn into actions. It is. But it always starts small. Oh, it always starts very, very small. Take lust, the one Jesus is talking about. Take lust, okay? Married man's at work. New girl. She's from here, but she's new job there. He's like, man, she's pretty. Man, she's really pretty. And she's cool. And so that goes on for a little while. And then he's like, you know what? She's really pretty. I wonder what she would look like in a bathing suit, because she's really pretty. And then he remembers, oh yeah, I live in Myrtle Beach and we have Facebook. I can find out what she looks like in a bathing suit. And so he goes to Facebook, he friends her, and there she is. And he's like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I wanted to see right there. And so he thinks about that. And then his wife's mean to him one night. She burns the food or something. Women. And he starts thinking about that picture again. And this time he imagines what she would look like without the bathing suit. And he starts thinking about what it would look like if he and her were together without the bathing suit. And he's entered a world, man. He's thinking about things he should not be thinking about. And without even realizing it, this is where you just got to believe me, because so many of you are going to resist this today. You got to believe me. What happens in that moment is in your brain, that thought shifts from not okay to okay. Or maybe not okay yet, but not okay. Because the parameters of what you've deemed appropriate have been widened in your mind. You have broadened them. You have broadened your horizons. You've changed the parameters in your head of what's permissible. You have. And this is just a word to the dudes, because I don't know how women's brains work, but a word to the dudes. If that happens, if you're there, if you can do that, I am telling you with all my heart, it is just a matter of time and circumstance before you'll cheat. Period. And if you don't ask me, ask any person who's cheated. Hey, did you plan on that? Did you intend to do that? Was that your idea? Guys, I don't care how strong you think you are. I don't care how you think your brain works. You are one bad thought and one perfect circumstance away from making the biggest mistake of your life. But see, we have no idea. We have no idea because we don't understand that our thoughts, that what we think about, is the breeding ground. It's the starting point. It's the scene of the crime. The mind is literally the devil's playground. You know why? It's because we're convinced it's a safe zone. We're convinced we can dream big. We can think freely in this place and nothing will ever happen. And what we don't realize is that he is simply planting a seed. He's planting a thought. A thought that's going to spread like a virus. You think it's harmless because this is never going to happen until the right circumstances present themselves. Okay, let's fast forward a month, 2 months, 3 months. This guy we're talking about, he gets in a fight with his wife, and it's a bad one. I mean, it's a bad one. It's not a day-long fight. It's a week-long fight. And at work, lo and behold, the new girl is incredibly receptive. And she wants to talk about his problems because she's noticed when he came in that he looks sad. And so he starts sharing what's going on, and man, she's like, oh yeah, dude, you're totally right. She's crazy. I would never say that to you. The pictures start coming back in his head now. Those pictures that he thought were okay because they were safe, they were free. He was never going to act on them. But he starts thinking about them. He starts thinking about what he thought about with her. And then lo and behold, guess what? She's kind of interested. She doesn't back away. She actually decides, hey, let's go have dinner. So he goes. He goes to have dinner. The whole time he's thinking, this isn't right. I love my wife. I can't do this. I can't do this. But then the thoughts come back in his head. He starts thinking about it. And then guess what? Our minds are incredibly wicked. They are deceitful. They rationalize. So here's what they start saying. No one will ever find out. Nobody will ever know. And look what she did to you, man. Look how mean she was to you. Look what she said in front of your children. She doesn't respect you. You deserve this. You've earned this. And then the next morning, you realize you've made the biggest mistake of your life. And then you have to explain to your daughter why mommy and daddy don't live in the same house anymore. And as far as you're concerned, you have no idea what happened. It slipped up on me, man. I never would have done that. I would have never been the guy that did that. And you say, how? How did this happen? It happened because the human mind, the human heart, is the most deceitful of all things. It happened because Jesus told us it would happen in Mark 7. Mark 7:20, he said it. He said, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. Inside. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts and sexual immorality and all those things. They are what defile you. What we've got to realize today, the battle for our lives, the battle for our hearts, is not fought out here. It's fought on a 5-inch piece of real estate between our ears. And guess what? The deck is stacked against us. Because we were born selfish. We were born with a heart that the Bible itself says is deceitful above all things. So what do? What do we do? Well, thank God there's a God. In Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, this is what he tells us. This is an Old Testament promise that's carried out in the New Testament. That's what it says. He says, I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Makes sense, right? If your toaster is broken, you get a new one. If your cell phone's broken, you get a new one. Guys, our hearts are broken. And we need a new one. And God accomplishes this through His Son. Through a relationship with Him. Maybe you've heard the phrase, it's sort of become a derogatory phrase now in some circles, but it's not. It's the most life-giving phrase we have. You've heard the phrase, born again. That's what that means. It means when we begin a relationship with Christ, we're born again. It means what we just read about. It means we get a new heart. Jesus coined the phrase in John 3. Let me show you what he said. He was talking to a Pharisee. He was one of the good guys, not one of the bad Pharisees. He was one of the good ones. And in John 3:3, he says this. He says, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's what it means. It means through relationship with Jesus, through the salvation he gives, through the forgiveness of our sins, through the change that he can do within us, we actually get a new heart. We actually can do this. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Now this is where it gets tricky though. Because I know some of you in the room, man, you're like, Trey, question. I have a relationship with Jesus. I have done that. I believe in Jesus. I follow Him. And I was on Facebook last week looking for that girl's picture. So, what's wrong with me? I thought you said I'd get a new heart. End of verse 17 there. You got to catch the last word. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. It's begun. It doesn't mean it's happened. It doesn't mean we're completely changed. It means we're completely perfect. It means we have a fighting shot. It means we get to begin the process of God changing our hearts and actually turning us from not acting selfish to not being selfish. Because see, step number one is to begin a relationship with Jesus. That's how you have to start the process. B will not happen before A. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. Salvation, the promise of salvation, and everything that comes with it, eternity, the ability to live for God, the ability for the best life possible, the ability to have a new heart that actually loves other people and loves God more than you love yourself, all that only comes through relationship with Jesus. But that's where it starts. We also have to build our relationship with Him. Let me read you. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Hear this. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, as we get to know Christ, as our relationship grows, He literally will change the way we think. If we let Him, He'll change the way we feel. He'll change the way our hearts react to things. And one of the biggest ways He does that is what's going on right now. Week in and week out, you come here, I prepare, and I prayerfully bring a message to you that God has placed on my heart that I hope will change your thinking. That is part of this process. As you come here, you hear. Okay. We're going to keep going. So, the lights will come back up in a minute. Wow, Satan doesn't want you to hear this. I wonder why. There we go. Okay. Yeah, stay with me because this is going to be crazy. And if it goes out, I'll just scream because you can't miss this. This room is only part of the process. Okay? 2 weeks ago, I talked about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when we did the movie Grown Ups, talked about being a grown up, talked about feeding yourself, learning how to feed yourself spiritually. That is part of this process as well. You have to learn to make your relationship with God your own. You have to learn to read the Bible for yourself. You have to learn to understand the Bible for yourself. And as you do that in conjunction with here, He changes you. He changes your heart. He changes the way you think. He changes what you think is okay and not okay. He changes it. I'm going to read you this verse. It would be up on the screen, but it won't now. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. You might want to write that one down. This is what happens to us. This is what happens to us as we spend time reading God's Word and as our hearts begin to change. Look at this, verse 3. It says, we are human. Hear this, but we don't wage war as humans. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, our hearts, and to destroy false arguments, rationalization. We use God's mighty weapons to do that. And you may want to say, whoa, war, that's a little strong, right? That's a little strong reference. And I say, you know what? So is your mind. The only way to beat strength is strength. And I'm telling you, approaching your thought life, approaching actually submitting them to God and allowing them to change them, approaching that without the full force and ferocity that you would have defending your home or your family is like taking a knife to a gunfight. You may feel comfortable, but it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. So spend time with God. Let Him change the way you think. Use God's mighty weapon, which is His Word. God's mighty weapon is His Word. Because here's what's going to happen. You decide this is okay, this isn't okay. A thought pops up. And you want to start thinking about the thing. Guess what will happen? If you're doing this, man, if you're allowing God to change you, if you're allowing God to transform you, what's going to happen is right in that moment, God's going to bring to mind something we've said in here, a verse you've read, something, and you're going to be like, you know what? No, I can't do this. The human mind is the most deceitful of all things. I can't do this. No, this is going to take me down the wrong path. It takes discipline. It takes the same discipline it takes to say, I don't want to lose weight, so I'm not going to eat at Burger King. If you keep going to Burger King, you ain't going to lose weight. Sorry. I don't care if it's your way right away. Your way right away, your butt is here to stay. All right? Yes. I'm telling you, the more you know God's Word, the more you spend time with Him, the more you let Him change your heart, the easier it becomes. There's a reason in the Bible we see Jesus tempted one time. He is tempted one time by Satan. He's in the desert. He had been fasting for 40 days and nights. Talk about anyone who could have said, I deserve. Satan tempted Him three times, three ways, every single time. He didn't respond with His own words. He responded with Scripture. He responded with truth. Truth is the only way to defeat the deceit of our minds. It won't happen overnight. It won't. It's a process. But it's a process I beg you to begin today. Because I'll tell you, behind every bad action, every misstep, every false move, every poor decision, every regret you have in life, every single one, behind every single one of them, there was a bad thought. There was a seed that eventually grew. And we never realized, never imagined what would happen. But it did. So I'll leave it in your hands today. Some of you today need to take the first step. You need to begin a relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. You know what you need to do. If you want us to help you, on your card, you can say, I'm interested in becoming a Christ follower. We'll contact you and walk you through the process. Others of you, you have a relationship with Christ, but you've tricked yourself into thinking your mind's a safe zone. That your mind is completely safe, and the devil is just laughing. He loves it. He absolutely loves it because it's his playground. He's just up there planting things and fixing things and making things and saying, oh, I'm going to put that thought there and that thought there. And then he just waits. Waits for the perfect circumstance. I kind of hope I'm scaring you a little bit. Because it's scary. because I love you. I don't want you to wake up one day and have made the biggest mistake of your life. So commit today. I'm going to let God transform my thoughts. I'm going to spend time in His Word. I'm going to listen to the messages. I'm going to try to apply them. And when those thoughts pop in, man, I'm going to take them out. I'm going to not allow them to land. I'm going to hold on to the truth. I'm going to hold on to God's mighty weapon, which is His Word. Because my wife is worth it. My kids are worth it. My friends are worth it. My job is worth it. My integrity is worth it. But most of all, my God is worth it. And I wear His name. I love you guys. I really do. And I pray God transforms you from the inside out. May we stop acting selfish and stop being selfish. Let's pray. Father, oh God, we love you so much. We praise you for all that you've done. Lord, I pray now that you will make this message real within our hearts. Let it resonate deep inside, that what we think is safe isn't. May we understand why your Son would say to think it is to do it, because that's where it starts. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.